Hello and welcome to Lifetime Uncorked, the podcast where we discuss your favorite made-for-TV movies. Whether you love to hate watch or hate yourself for loving them, pour up a glass of your favorite cocktail and join us. I am your host, Patrick Serrano, and my guests today are...
I am Drew Current.
I am Megan Powell.
Yeah.
Hello, Megan's Megan Powell.
Back. I'm back.
Back again. Season four. Fourth time, I think. Yeah.
She back.
She back. Every season. Gotta have Megan on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is that, you know, we get the list of movies from Lifetime and I like sent out a couple emails. I'm like, what do you think about this one? Because now you're not just Danica McKellar expert. You have like a wide range of knowledge, right? Yeah.
I'll go with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I feel like Olivia Newton-John might be like your jams.
Yeah. I thought you put something on Facebook and like, who knows Olivia Newton-John? And I was like, I'm your girl.
That's right.
Right here.
Yeah. So did you like
Grease soundtrack, Grease,
you
Grease
like all
day,
all
Grease all night.
Grease okay. all day. Yep.
Were you ever in Grease?
First solo album was in my dad's record collection.
Did you ever play Rizzo? I feel like you'd be a good Rizzo.
Oh, but I wanted to. Only in my bedroom, when I played the
in
record
a hairbrush.
And sang along.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sounds
I was in Grease.
Like a drag.
You were in Grease?
I was a non-named character.
Yeah.
In Grease.
I think I was the only male that wasn't a T-Bird in the whole show.
In the whole show.
I was like a jock.
Were you like, tell me more, tell
exactly,
me more.
Yeah. I was in the back. I was like in all the group numbers, the only non-T-Bird male in the cast.
Oh, wow.
That's like how I was in the musical Guys and Dolls in junior high, and I was a cheerleader in a big like musical number scene where people danced across different kinds of people, and there were two cheerleaders in New York in the 1950s where they gamble for some reason.
Yeah,
you know, and those roles are the hardest because you don't get any context. You're not in the script.
No.
You just got to make up a whole character for yourself.
Yes, you do.
And you're like, well, yes, I'm the jock of Grease.
Who's not a T-Bird.
I was Albert Peterson in Bye Bye Birdie.
Yes.
So I was the main guy. So I don't know what it's like to be.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. I host a podcast
fine.
Now. Yeah.
After the podcast, you can tell us what it's like to star in a musical.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll tell you all about it. It's great.
Well, we have a movie we're talking about, but before we get to the movie, we have some business to take care of.
Business.
So the business time of the podcast is when we say, hey, write a review of the podcast. And we've actually gotten a bunch of reviews, which I will pull up as I'm talking about them. So we are trying to get, what do we say? 1,000?
1,000,000 reviews.
Look, we don't care. Just write a review. The number doesn't matter. We got 100 for the holidays, which was amazing.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Thank you so much. But yes, we are looking to get more reviews. And we got some recently. I will read a few. There was one really funny. Actually, this one's newer that I just am seeing. It's from Boogerdy Boo.
Boogerdy Boo. Boogerdy
Boo. They say... Thank you for making 2019 a whole lot brighter. Sunflower emoji. Is that a fox? Or a cat. It looks like Hot Rod. Hot Rod emoji.
How'd they know?
A toasty thing and a heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. They must follow Drew on Instagram because that's all his Instagram is cats.
Yeah, it's just cat stuff.
Cat pics.
It must be.
Yeah.
Cats and hearts.
Cats and hearts, baby. Well, thank you, Boogerdy Boo.
Yeah, thank you, Boogerdy Boo. There's a couple more, but I'll save them for another time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, write a review. Have emojis in it. That's it.
That's cool.
Reviews of reviews.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Participate,
people. We'll review some of your reviews.
Right. That one, 5 stars.
5 star. That's a 5 star
review of our podcast.
We just reviewed a review of the podcast.
Yeah. Right.
Review. 5 stars.
Yeah, 5 stars. Good job.
Good job, Boogerdy Boo.
You did it. So, okay. No, business done. Business over.
Business,
yes. We are talking about today, Olivia Newton-John, Hopelessly Devoted to You.
Oh.
Mm.
You know, that's the title of the movie.
That's a big old title.
Yes. 2019 Lifetime acquisition from Australia. So it was a mini series in Australia, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Then they've turned it into a movie, or they just repackaged it as a movie for us in the United States.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they just put the two parts together that they aired in.
Gotcha.
Oz.
Was it in two parts then?
Yes.
Okay. Originally it was.
Cool.
But they smashed it all together.
You can even look up what the ratings were.
They smashed it all down to an hour and a half.
That's right. An hour and a half with the, you know, singing, dancing. Great. Was there dancing? Yeah, I think there was.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, lots of wigs.
Lots of wigs.
Lots of makeup.
And drama.
Drama. So much drama.
Yeah. She has had an interesting life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Them Australians know that drama.
Yes. So total Lifetime biopic. Lifetime has problematic biopics, Drew. You may not know.
You need to fill me in on this as well.
So in the mid-2000s, they had a rash of biopics. So they did a Britney Spears biopic, Britney Ever After. Included no songs.
Of her ten-year career?
Right. Yep.
Less than that?
Yep. They did it.
Did a biopic on someone who's not dead?
Uh-huh. And had only been around for like 9 years at the time, you know? And it had none of her music. Because they couldn't afford the rights to her music.
Right.
So it's basically a blonde actress in a belly shirt for 2 hours.
Okay.
That's it.
With a southern drawl, I assume.
Sure. Chewing gum. And then they also did a Lisa Left Eye Lopez movie right after she died.
Oh.
What was it? TLC movie. Mm-hmm. And nothing really notable about that. Also, didn't have any of the music
right
in its biopic. They just have the costumes from No Scrubs video, and they're just walking around. They're like, No Scrubs. I can't sing that line, so I'm going to say No Scrubs.
I'm just going to say
Legally, I can't sing No Scrubs. We don't have
but
the rights.
But I can say the two words, no and scrubs, one after the other.
Yes.
They probably had... They had to get some lawyers on that, probably, to be like, can we do this?
And then they also had a Whitney Houston biopic right after she died, where, I kid you not, it's Yaya from America's Next Top Model. If anyone knows America's Next Top Model, it's me. That's my other podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's the other podcast.
But she would be, in Whitney drag, and she'd, have, a Whitney dress on and, the crazy hair. And then you would see her, walk on stage, not see her sing. And she'd walk off stage with a towel and be like, that was a great
set.
With
the crowd roaring.
Yeah, the crowd's like, amazing. So three biopics of Lifetime. No music.
Not a note of music.
Okay.
So Olivia Newton-John, : Hopelessly Devoted to You, is really a breath of fresh air.
Oh, so it does have some Olivia Newton-John.
This is good context to have.
Yes.
I did wonder, because they did perform the actual songs, or the lead actress who played Olivia Newton-John sang the songs,
yes,
all the big, major songs, and they reenacted scenes from or filming of her physical video and from Xanadu and Grease, that I thought there must have been some kind of permission.
Right. Well, the Australia people love Olivia Newton-John because she's from them. So, of course, they're like, yes, make a movie. Make all the movies. Make a miniseries. Make a comic book. Make a, I don't know, what a YouTube channel. All the Olivia Newton-John all the time.
Just broadcast it to that U2 album that got put on everybody's phones, in your iTunes.
Exactly.
That's it.
And I should have said all that in an Australian accent, but last time I did an Australian accent, the Australian fans of the podcast made fun of me.
Mm-hmm.
Did they say you sounded like you were from New Zealand instead? Because it's different, Patrick.
Okay. Well, I hear just shrimping on the bobby, you know? That's what I hear.
Good day.
There's a reason I was the jock in Greece and not a T-Bird, okay? And it might be my accent.
Because you can't do an Australian.
That's right. That was part
of
the...
any
accent.
Well, you definitely couldn't have played Sandy.
No, right.
From Australia.
I know, she's from Australia, which, you know, that if I was going to be someone in that play, that's what it would be.
But not in the original play.
Yes. Chicago.
Australian's a hard one to do, kind of.
It is.
I think it's hard because you end up doing an English accent when you try.
But you've got to make it. now I'm going into New Zealand.
Right.
Yeah.
Look, this isn't an accents podcast. This is that's
my
Lifetime
Accord
podcast.
That's my other podcast.
Yes, that's your other podcast. So what is this called? Olivia Newton-John, Hopelessly Devoted to You, stars Delta Goodram, Kate Jenkson, Paul David Godard. Godard.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Godard. Goddard. Oh, I can't do it either.
Yes.
Goddard, maybe.
And while we are talking about Delta Goodrum. Delta, she is a pop star in Australia. And she's like a big
huge
deal.
Star. She's so big that she's like a judge on their version of The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like a J-Lo. She's a D good.
Well, I mean, she can probably sing better than J-Lo, I would hope.
Yeah.
But I brought a clip today of her singing. This is her number one hit called Lost Without You.
So excited.
I've never heard of the song. We'll play it. She looks like Britney Spears on the cover. She's got like her hands through her hair, and she has like a low cut tank top on.
Okay.
A nude tank top. Here we go.
Everywhere I go, I get so confused.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do.
You're the only thing that's on my mind.
So kind of country-ish, right?
Yeah, sort of.
Sort of, like...
Kind of Olivia Newton-John.
Early 2000s light radio.
Yeah.
Listen to it at work.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like a Kelly Clarkson, but sweet, you know? Like a Kelly Clarkson without the soul.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, that might be the production.
She was very young too. Like she started out as a pop star when she was like in her late teens or
cool.
Britney
Spears.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
So she's Britney Spears. She probably was the same actress who played Britney Spears in the Britney Spears Lifetime movie, but you know, she couldn't sing, so she couldn't shine. But Delta Goodrum shines in this, okay? Mm-hmm. She does great.
She does do great.
So we'll jump into it, Drew. We'll explain the movie. There's a lot to get through because it's a biopic. So, you know, we have to see their whole life. So we start off. It's 1977. We're at Paramount Studios. And Olivia Newton-John is getting sewn into her, like, leather sexy outfit. Or I guess it's not leather.
Drew, have you seen Grease?
I have seen Grease,
Yeah, it's the outfit that Sandy comes out in.
Okay.
Puts the cigarette out with her candy high heel shoe and says, tell me about it, stud.
I think I remember that.
Mm-hmm. And she says an Australian accent, so it's like, tell me about it, stud. Right? That's it, right?
I think that was Canadian. You did a Canadian accent.
Tell me about it.
Surrey. We see her like, she's like recording the vocals to the You're the One That I Want. So she's like prancing around the set and everyone's like, oh, she looks great. And I feel like in this like our kind of meter of, is Delta like going to be a good Olivia?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, past check mark, she looks like her. She the outfit's great. It's like good production on the replica of the set and everything.
Yeah.
It's like passes the first test, right?
Right.
And she's singing the song at the beginning. I was like, whoa.
Okay.
My mind is blown here, you know? And then we see, like, John Travolta, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, Olivia.
I can't do
John Travolta.
70s New York accent.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
John Travolta accent. Okay.
Hey. Hey, Olivia. Hey,
Olivia.
Hey.
He's like, we're super famous now. How do we get here? And she, like, they're walking through a door. She's like, you know, visioning her past or whatever, and he's like, only you would know how you got here. And then it's like, yes.
And then we switch to a completely different actress playing Sandy.
Teenage.
I mean, not Sandy. Oops. Olivia. Let me have another sip of wine.
Right. Okay. So we're in Melbourne?
Melbourne.
Yes. And they're in high school. Olivia Newton-John is like dancing a little schoolgirl outfit with her friends. And her mom comes to pick her up and gives like the best exposition line. She's like, acting's not a real job. What are you doing here, kid? I'm recently divorced. Okay, moving on. You know?
It was very succinctly done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I love an exposition where it's like one line. It's like, we know who everyone is. We know that there's a mom. There's a sister. There's Olivia Newton-John. Right?
Boom.
In one line.
Yeah, they did a very good job of hustling this movie along.
Yes. So Olivia Newton-John, they're like the mom's picking Olivia Newton-John to go on a singing competition, speaking of American Idol or whatever, or The Voice.
Okay.
It's called Sing, Sing, Sing.
With exclamation points.
Or in Australia, it'd be sang, sang, sang.
We're gotcha. Sorry, Aussies.
Gotcha, Drew. Good thing you weren't drinking. She's very nervous, Olivia Newton-John. She's like, I think she throws up.
Yes, she does. I blocked that part out because I can't watch that.
I know. Vomiting on screen. On screen. Not necessary. We don't need it ever.
Did they show it, like the vomit?
Yeah, like spewed out.
Did it?
No.
Okay. Because I don't know. You really closed your eyes. I put my hand over it.
No, Olivia Newton-John is a lady. You know.
Oh, right. Please.
All right. Moving on from the vomit. Sorry, everyone who's sensitive to vomit.
There's a bit of emetophobia.
Yes. So... she doesn't need to have a reason to be nervous because she kills it. Yep. She does an amazing job. Uh-huh. She wins the contest and gets to go to London and record a single.
Yes.
Okay. At a studio. Yeah.
Not just Melbourne.
Right.
Not just Sydney.
Right. She's in London, you know? And they get in the studio and Olivia Newton-John's
this
like...
This will not get old. Right. Ever.
Olivia Newton-John's like, hey... you know, I know you want me to record a cover, but how about we write a song and do an original?
Mm, okay.
The producer's like, yeah, kid. How about no? Yeah. Sing the song I said.
Yeah.
So she sings a song and it doesn't really go well. Like, it doesn't chart well.
Yeah.
The reviews are bad.
Okay.
It's like her one chance, she blows it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know? And could you read what the newspaper said? It was like a picture of Olivia Newton-John, and I could not see what the shady headline was.
I might have been like brushing my teeth at the same time.
I like rewound it like three times, and I'm like, yeah. I don't see the headline that says this. Like, maybe I'm waiting for like a pun on Olivia.
Maybe they didn't know like what it would have been, and it was just like, make it blurry.
Right.
So it looks like a headline.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even think of a good Olivia Newton wrong.
Oh, there it is.
You know?
Yep.
It's like Olivia Newton wrong. Single sucks.
Olivia Poo.
Wrong.
Okay. We're not writers for newspapers, okay? This isn't the 1960s. We write blogs. Okay, so then the single comes out, whatever, and then she has a friend named Pat. She's like a brown-haired friend. Okay. Gotta have a brown-haired friend when you're a blonde.
Yeah, the brunette is always the friend who doesn't become a star.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But they joined forces to create a band called Olivia and Pat. Or Pat and Olivia. I don't know which one.
I don't either.
But
I didn't know this.
Yeah. And they
did not know.
They go on tour and stuff. And I was actually reading about this because I was like, is this true? And they got discovered by singing at a full frontal nudity strip club, and they booked it, and they didn't know it was a strip club. Okay. So they were like, well, we're gonna still sing, we're not gonna strip, but you know. And then one of the big music producer guys was at that strip club, you know, waiting for his full frontal nudity.
and then instead
got Olivia Newton-John and Pat.
Disappointing.
You know,
and we should point out that the movie emphasizes her wholesomeness, that she, you know,
right. Uh-huh. Yeah, Olivia Newton-John is a saint.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Pat...
and she probably really is. Like,
I think so.
I didn't feel like that was false.
No. Well, they go out partying a lot, so they meet this guy. This is where it gets a little confusing, because there's a lot of dudes in the movie that don't really matter.
And they don't introduce them, and then they're gone in three and a half minutes.
Right.
That it's like she dated them, and then it's like a new dude.
It's like how I would imagine if I had a single mother and then all these dudes came into my life and I'm like, are you going to stay? Are you going to stay though? I don't even know your name and you're already gone.
Yeah. I mean, should I call you Jack if that's your name, or dad?
Yeah. Uncle?
No.
That's
you wouldn't do that.
I think that's what Mommy Dearest did. She'd be Uncle whoever.
Oh.
You know?
Ew.
Yeah. Anyways, no Mommy Dearest.
You're gross.
Yes. So the guy, whoever the guy is, he's like a pop star or something. And he's like, oh, Olivia, come with me and I'll manage you, or help you write songs or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's very unclear.
This was the guy with the teeth, right?
Uh-huh. And he has all these paparazzi following him everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, right. Because he's like, come on and get in the car. And she's like, I can't believe we're going to meet Paul McCartney.
Right. So he's some famous man.
So he's and he worked with Cliff Richard, who I'm old enough to know, remember Cliff Richard, who was a big, I think he's still alive. I think he's ageless, British singer that is timeless and everybody loves.
I've never heard of that person.
Yeah.
Yes. The guy, his name's Bruce Welch. So Bruce mm-hmm. Welch is probably somebody like big.
Okay.
For the era. You know, he's like Pharrell.
Mm-hmm. He's like a big guy.
Yeah. The Pharrell of British music in the late 60s.
Exactly. And Olivia Newton-John here is dressed all like mod and stuff.
Oh, I thought you said
like
Pharrell.
Like no, Pharrell.
It's Pharrell.
You can understand my Indian accent. So they start working on an album, and then he becomes her fiance. Okay?
Boom.
So now we're in 1970.
4 minutes tops.
Right.
Just like that.
Oh, yeah. So 1971, flash to 1971, Olivia Newton-John is recording a country song. And she's like, I don't know about this country. And they're like, trust me, it's going to be great.
Can I give you a nerd fact?
Yes.
The song that she's recording was her first single called If Not For You. The first one that made up any waves.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That I don't remember if Bob Dylan wrote it or George Harrison wrote it.
But they both wrote the song?
One of them wrote it and the other recorded it. So Bob Dylan has performed it and George Harrison performed it. And then they gave it. So I'm watching this and she's like, I don't know if I want to do this song. Like, you're singing in George Harrison or Bob Dylan's song.
Right.
Yeah.
Amazing.
STFU, Olivia.
Well, we know Olivia doesn't like covers. So she's like, is this an original song, though? Like, where's my original song?
Where's my original song? My last cover, was trash.
My Instagram followers want me to do only original music. Can you imagine if Olivia Newton-John was, like, famous now, like, young? Like,
yeah.
You know?
We would have seen her boobs already.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Simpler times, 1971.
I miss them.
You miss the boobs? Her boobs?
I miss 1971.
Oh, okay. Sure, yes. So,
I went away for a moment.
Right. I miss them. I miss
boobs. Pre-internet.
So all the country music gets Olivia Newton-John, like, you know, feeling her feelings. And she's like, I'm going to break up with this fiance. We're calling it off. And she writes, I honestly love you. Or somehow she gets that song.
Her first number one song.
Okay.
Well, she hooks up with, this was unclear. She had a guy that she worked with platonically. This is one guy she never dated. But I think he was married to Pat. I don't know.
Yeah, because that guy's
His name is John Farrar, and John Farrar became her main, like, songwriter guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he wrote I Honestly Love You, which was her first number one hit.
Okay.
That was on the record my dad had.
Really? Play a little something for Drew. I should fast forward to the chorus because I don't know any of the verses. It's not Olivia Newton-John singing this song.
No, it's not.
I'm going to make you guess who it is.
But I got something to tell you that I never thought I would. And I
so you don't know?
I have no idea who this would be.
It's Christina Aguilera.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Here we go.
I love you.
Just kidding. It's not Christina Aguilera. You guys believe me?
Yes. I could absolutely believe you.
I could believe you, too.
Like, you could say fucking...
It's Julianne Hatfield. Our favorite singer. I brought
Patrick,
it just for
I'm
you.
Patrick, I'm so ashamed. I didn't recognize it.
Yeah, Julianne Hatfield released a cover of Olivia Newton-John albums.
It's awesome.
It's great.
And clearly, I haven't listened to it in a long time.
Right. Yeah. So, you know. But this single was huge. Huge enough for 20 years later. Oh, my God. More than 20 years later. 40 years later.
Yeah. It really broke her in America. Like, it got her big in America. And then she moves to Los Angeles after.
Yes. So she's in Los Angeles now. It's 1973. She's like touring concerts, playing Nashville, the Grand Ole Opry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because Pat is also with her throughout this whole movie. And she's just like, Olivia, how you feeling? And then Olivia's like, you know, that's all great, but I just want to, like, have a normal life with a house and a dog and a horse. And someone to share it with. That's all I want in life. Like,
okay. And a horse.
Right. The grass is greener on the other side.
The horse becomes a thing.
Okay.
In the film.
Yeah, the horse is
a
metaphor.
I mean the miniseries.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, she's in LA now. She goes on the beach and she meets a man named Lee.
Just picks up a guy on the beach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he...
Or maybe they knew each other. It's unclear where these guys come from.
It's like all of a sudden the new dad is there and you're like, okay, yeah. I guess that's my dad.
It's like,
I guess.
Like, did you meet this one at the gas station too, mommy?
Right.
Olivia?
But he moves to the States and he's going to manage her career because, you know, that's what all the men in Olivia Newton-John's life do, I guess. Mm-hmm. So,
although she's a little reluctant about manager. She does point out that because of the previous guy with the teeth, mm-hmm. forgot his name already, she doesn't like to mix business and personal mm-hmm. relationships.
Right.
But she's going to go for it. He okay. wants to really help her.
Yeah.
Lee does. Yep.
So, there's a very flamboyant filmmaker who comes into the scene, you know? He's like, mm-hmm. girl, I mean, not really, because it's the 70s. So he's like, got Elton John glasses on and like a crazy hair.
He's like, hey, foxy lady.
Yeah. Yeah, you foxy, foxy fox.
Except, yeah. Uh-huh.
And he's like, I'm producing this movie and I need someone to play Sandy and you'd be great.
And she's like, they're totally at like a 70s
party,
producer's house, pool party mm-hmm. kind of deal. Great. Like a boogie nights like thing, but not like porn.
Find that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And she's like, oh, I'm really insecure about my acting. Maybe I should do a screen test. And he's like, okay, if you want to do a
yeah,
screen
test. Yeah, she insists on it because she's a wholesome girl.
Right. She plays by the rules.
She plays by the rules.
Do a screen test? Like, so someone's offering you
yeah,
a offered job without... Without an audition.
And she says, yeah. No, I can't do it either.
And he's like...
Screen test.
Oh, well, once you meet John Travolta, you will do it. He's hot, hot, hot. Saturday Night Fever mm-hmm. just came out. He's the next big thing.
Yeah.
He's the next Paul Newman. You know?
Yeah.
And she goes, they like meet up or whatever. Oh, he also promises that he... is going to retool her image because she doesn't want to be the wholesome girl anymore. He's like, we'll retool your image. We're going to make the character Australian so you don't even have to learn an accent because accents are hard.
Yeah,
I know. I know that.
I mean, it's got to be hard to go like Australian to
American.
To American.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, probably.
Unless you're Nicole Kidman or something.
Probably mm-hmm. just as hard.
Right.
To go from
that. Yeah. So... she meets John Travolta, they hit it off, and they don't even do the screen test. They're just being filmed, like, talking, and they're like, it's great. The chemistry is great.
And he's like, I love your song. I honestly love you. And they start to sing it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aw.
Thereby reinforcing that this movie had the rights to all these songs.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they sing I Honestly Love You, like, 17 times in this movie. Yeah. No joke.
So did they have the rights to that one song?
Right.
No.
Yeah. No, they get they the other others. Ones, too.
They even had the Xanadu songs, but we'll get to that.
Okay. We'll get there. So the manager boyfriend, Lee, he is like not happy that Olivia's gonna do the movie, and he's like, you should have had more money, you like, what are you doing, you're mm-hmm. like, value yourself. And she's like, okay, well, if you were to be my husband or my manager and you could only pick one thing, what would you pick? And he's like, I have to pick one. Well, can I sleep on it?
Which one do I make more money from?
Yeah, right. I love you, but God, that money's good.
Right? And she's like, out of my life!
Goodbye!
Get out of my life.
Good day.
Yep, she kicks out that dad, and the poor kid's like, ah, there's no kid. There's no kid yet. So we're back on set. She's singing Hopelessly Devoted to You, and we learn that the movie becomes the highest grossing movie musical of all time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Grease. Yeah,
Hopelessly Devoted to You, which was written by her songwriter, John Farrar, it wasn't originally in the original play.
Yeah,
right.
Grease, the stage musical. Although it appeared in the movie, they're filming the first scene of the whole movie where she's like shows up at school and it's the first day of school. Mm-hmm. So they're on the set, not shooting. And John Farrar shows up and he's like, I finished your song, your solo for the movie. And it's like, is he really just bringing the song now?
Yeah,
like when they've started filming the movie?
Yeah.
I'll sight read it. No problem.
And then she does.
She's a professional.
She sits on this bleachers where they sit during. Tell me more.
Right. Yeah. So.
Okay.
It's a big hit. I looked it up to see if it's still a number one musical. Guess what overtook it? Grease.
Guess what overtook Greece?
I don't want to know. I'm going to be sad.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't know. Hamilton?
Hamilton is not a movie musical.
Oh, movie musical.
A movie musical.
Movie musical.
I don't know. Mamma Mia? I don't know.
Good guess. Good guess. No, it's Beauty and the Beast, the remake.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Okay.
By a lot. A lot of money. By a lot of money.
Wait, the remake of Beauty
and
the
Beast? Yeah, the live action Beauty and the Beast remake.
Oh, okay.
Is that number just came one out a movie couple, musical.
Yep. Yeah.
Number one movie musical. Second is Grease by $100 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but we're talking 1978 right. dollars but within, versus 2016.
But that's with inflation also.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's wow. crazy. Look, but look, it's also, Disney. That means that Grease was like huge.
It was so huge. You have no idea. Huge. Yes, I was alive then and I had the soundtrack. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Think about how many movie musicals have come out since Grease. Yeah. For Grease to what be you, number two
wait,
now.
What year was Grease?
1978.
78, okay.
Something okay. like that. Yeah, so, you know, she's a huge star now, and things are starting to get a little more Lifetime-y in the movie, thank God, because I was like, this is very straight-up biopic right. so far.
Really?
I thought so. But then we get to see Olivia Newton-John's stalker. He has red hair. He has a baseball cap on. He's cutting out letters and like making a scary stalker letter. And I'm like,
with complete with like the eye, like photos with the eyes gouged out and then like, you know, red marker on them.
Uh-oh.
But it's one little scene. It'll come back and we'll talk about it more.
Hopefully.
And creepy music.
Hopefully right. it would come back.
Yes. So next is.
Actually, that would be amazing if it didn't.
You're right. Just like, you're just like.
Just introduce that.
Okay.
Someone there's just like. This probably was the thing. This probably was right. the guy that did this.
Next is Xanadu, and Olivia Newton-John is
the
in rehearsals.
Not the top grossing movie musical of all time.
They were hoping.
No.
They were hoping.
What's the name?
Have you guys seen it?
No. No, never.
You've never seen Xanadu?
No. No, I like the song.
I've never
Out.
Seen it.
Oh, no. Leave.
Out of my sight. Leave.
Oh, no.
I insist that. You watch it soon.
Yeah, so sorry I haven't seen Xanadu. I haven't seen a lot of musicals.
Right. And, you know,
in general.
No one else saw Xanadu either because it gets really bad reviews. They even say Xana don't watch it.
You Xana must watch it.
I feel like I would like it.
Patrick, I know you would like it.
Okay.
It's so awful and it's so beautiful.
Okay.
It is roller skating disco.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
With Greek goddesses / aliens and Gene Kelly.
Oh.
Oh, there's aliens in it?
No, Gene Kelly?
No, well, the,
damn it, Drew. You're like, oh, aliens.
There's
aliens
like alternate life form type
yes.
things going on. But not, wow. you know,
what
not
the
like.
What is
like,
this about?
Dude, it was 1980. Just, you got to watch it.
So the thing man. To take away here, Drew, is not how great the movie is, unfortunately. The thing to take away is that she starts dating a backup dancer named Matt.
Okay.
Who is very good looking, by the
very
way.
Very good looking. Yeah, because it's like a lineup of dancers, and they're like, pick the one you want to dance with, and she's like, him.
That motherfucker.
Hubba hubba. Yeah, so they're like dating, okay? So just mm-hmm. know that she's dating Matt now. That's our new dad. Hi, new dad.
Hi, new dad.
And Olivia Newton-John, she gets... a single, okay? And they're like, this single's going to retool your image.
Yeah.
You had a flop of a movie. We're going to, like, do something different. It's a Tina Turner hand-me-down. Tina Turner's like, I don't want this song. Rod Stewart's like, I don't want this song. Olivia Newton-John gets it. It's Physical.
Let's get physical, physical.
I know that one.
Yeah.
Get.
And we basically get a replica of the video. Here.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
You should look it up.
It's really funny. Because it's like they the same set production, the same like actors, like it's the whole video.
Wow.
They really just
like
do
someone
it, do it
working
out.
On the production of this movie worked really hard to get it to look
they
exactly
got it right
like
now. Yeah.
Yeah. It was great.
Great.
Yes.
I have a physical story.
A physical story?
About this song.
Oh,
so
okay.
when I was in just to show you how this illustrates how shocking
the song
was.
I have an actual physical story.
Yeah.
That I have to show you physically.
Okay.
With objects.
Okay. Yes. Hold on. No. I'm going to play physical. I dare you tell me the physical.
So I went to Catholic school And I'm in grade school, and you know how you have music class, like once a week you go to music class.
Uh-huh.
So we were given the opportunity to do a report on a musical artist, and I picked Olivia Newton-John, and we could play a song by that artist. So in previewing what I was going to do, I brought in my song Physical by Olivia Newton-John, mm-hmm. and the music teacher said, you can't play this song.
Because it says,
too sexy.
Oh, it's too hot.
Yep.
It's too hot
Let
for school.
Let me
what
hear
grade
your body
this?
Talk.
Oh, yeah.
Third grade.
Third grade? It was about third grade. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that's it's too.
So I had to play I Honestly Love You.
Yeah.
But so it was a radical, like, sexy Olivia departure from her previous image.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when Miley Cyrus can't be tamed.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be tamed. Okay. Just,
is that the one when she's like on a big
she's
animal?
In a birdcage? Yeah, she has wings.
Okay.
Look, I'm just keeping it real for the millennials.
Sorry, guys.
My two millennial listeners. Most of my listeners are not millennials, probably.
Well, no. All you millennials should watch Xanadu too.
Yes, totally.
I want to watch Xanadu now.
I know, right? So the stalker guy comes back. Okay. And we find out that he is still cutting out pictures of Olivia, scratching out her eyes, sending really scary letters, and he has been trying to break into her house, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the police tell Olivia, they're like, you're not safe, you need to get out of here, there's a man, he's, like, murdered his whole family.
He murdered his family.
Yeah.
Then this is, like,
in
a
Louisiana.
Real...
This is real.
This
so
is real.
We'll,
totally
we'll
happened.
Talk about the real case now, because I have a article here. The real man is from Louisiana, and he murdered his whole family because they were getting in between him and Olivia.
They were like, you have to stop it with this.
Right. You're too obsessed. And he...
They just wouldn't let him live his dream. Sorry,
exactly. Well, right. Yeah. You know, dreams are meant to be lived. Don't get in the way of my dreams.
Don't get in the way of my dreams, all I'm saying.
Oh, boy. Yeah, but that's true. And there was also another stalker that she had. What was his name?
Not depicted in the film.
Yeah. Wisconsin-born Ralph Now.
Yeah, she had... Olivia Newton-John had two stalkers.
Oh, well, good. Right. I mean,
that's how famous she is.
That means you're getting somewhere.
You know, I only have one stalker on this podcast.
Yeah, you have one.
Stalker, don't come for me. Leave me alone.
You
stalker.
Do?
No, I don't.
Oh.
Maybe I do. I
but
probably
if you
do,
that stalker should watch
but you could
Xanadu.
Say, but like, you could say that you do.
Right.
And then it makes you like a bigger deal than you are.
Yeah. So I do have a stalker.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
I have one.
Be safe, Patrick.
Thank you. Well, I watch a lot of Lifetime, so I know how to handle
it. But they're
them.
From Australia, so I'm not worried. Right. I'm not super worried.
But that's... So because she had this stalker and the authorities or the security people that... were protecting her came and said, okay, this guy just murdered his whole family in Louisiana. I'm getting you out of here. It was like knock on the door in the middle of the night. You all have to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And she moves back to Australia.
Yes. She moves
just
back to
Australia.
Like changes
stalker?
Her life.
Just yeah. catch the dude.
But I Police. Mean, they probably do eventually. We don't really get into the details of it. You know, it's just
yeah.
like she had
this
a
movie's like
surface level, surface level. So it's 1988, and Olivia Newton-John is now married to Matt. She's still friends with Pat.
Okay.
You know, that rhymed.
Married to Matt, still friends with Pat.
And they have a...
Daughters.
And they have a cat.
Daughter.
They have kids.
I thought
now.
You were going to
run. They
right.
have a they daughter. Have,
and her name's Kat. No, I don't know what her name
her
is.
Her name's Chloe.
So Pat has a daughter, and Olivia Newton-John has a daughter. Pat's mm-hmm. daughter dies of cancer.
But Jesus. Patrick, it wasn't Pat. It was Nancy.
Wait, that wasn't Pat?
No. This was so confusing.
What?
Suddenly this woman who's also brunette shows up and her name is Nancy.
What?
Because I know this because I watched it with the captions because I was around my family and I was having to watch it on my phone
mm-hmm.
like while other people were talking.
Right.
And it was like, oh, I'm sorry, Nance.
Oh, I thought that's what Australians, a term of endearment. Like, sorry, babe. Like, oh, I'm sorry, Nance.
Isn't Nancy, like, a term for a type of kangaroo? Like, the kangaroo mother?
Something? Sure, it could be. I think so. It sounds right.
Sorry, Nancy. Aussies.
So, yeah, well, whoever this woman is.
She has a friend who has a daughter.
Her daughter dies. And the Olivia and John's daughter's like, well, do all kids get cancer? What's happening
do
here?
Do all kids die?
And Olivia's like, no, don't worry. It'll be fine. And the daughter's like, promise me you will never get cancer. And Olivia's
promise
like,
me.
Yeah. Olivia's like, I promise.
Sure.
I do.
I mean,
what
are you going to say, right?
Yeah.
You're like, I promise.
Right. But you know, we all know how this turns out, right? Olivia and John, she's playing at the piano. She gets up. She feels her breasts, and there's a lump in it.
Boom. Cancer.
You that know how you promise. Do.
You know when you get up from a piano and you just touch
and
your breasts?
And you just start giving yourself a self-exam.
That's when I get doing like, ball exam.
This is not a bit. This really happened in the movie.
Yeah.
it really happened in the movie.
It did. It was a complete shot. Like, not even her face was in the shot. It was just a shot of her in her t-shirt.
So she just gets up.
Gets up. She's like playing, I love you.
You know, kind of like, oh, I've got an itch.
Yeah, the doorbell rings
that?
And she goes and she's like, she feels a lump. Yeah. So she goes to the doctor and she's all like, right. Something is wrong. And he's like, no, it's nothing. You're being ridiculous.
There are many benign cysts in women's breasts.
And she's like, no, can you just like test it? And he's like, all right, you dumb woman. Like, he's the most patronizing doctor.
Welcome to women's healthcare, Patrick.
It made me so
whatever
angry.
Hysterical woman. Yes. You're in hysterics.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to take that uterus out of you.
Right.
Sorry, everyone.
So
I'll just have more wine.
A sex scene happens, but it's clearly not a Lifetime sex scene because there's no like strong male backs or thrusting. It's like they're sitting on the bed and they're just like, you know, in white and being beautiful.
It was gauzy and white.
Yeah. Mm. There's like
beautiful. It was at the beach.
Yeah.
Right. There's like breeze blowing in, like, mm-hmm. but you know, so that's the sex scene.
Okay.
But Olivia Newton-John gets a call from Australia that her dad has passed away.
Hey? Oh, so is she back in the U.S.?
Yeah, I guess now.
So they
who knows? Yes.
They captured the guy?
Who knows?
I feel like the writers read a lot of back issues of People magazine and then constructed the plot.
It sounds like
from that.
They cut. So if this was a miniseries, so if this was like a two-parter.
Right.
It sounds like they...
They might have.
I'm going with that conspiracy theory.
I'm going to go with that too because things jumped around and things like who's Nancy?
Right.
Not explained.
Yeah, like they cut
totally
out.
Totally confusing. So,
but Lifetime don't care.
They don't care. They're like, you're drinking wine. You're half paying attention. You're folding laundry. Don't worry about it. So the terrible doctor calls and he's like, oh, you were right. It's cancer. Breast cancer. And you don't have any time. So you should start treatments tomorrow. And she's like, but my dad just died in the funeral. And he's like, you can't go. You can't go. You're a woman and you're stupid and you can't go. Listen to me. I'm a man. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. Just like a pushy male doctor.
I'm like,
just like him.
She couldn't go for like a day to her dad's funeral?
Not defending the guy, but it was like, what, the late 80s?
Oh, I guess you're right. For like, the time period.
They might have. I don't think they did the kind of, I mean, not to get into mammograms and everything, but I don't think they did the kind of screening
right okay that's
now.
True different era
but
still
it'll come back around.
Yes.
Oh, okay, cool.
So Olivia Newton-John starts treatment and she keeps it all a secret from her daughter, but her daughter of course finds out and she's like, you promised, what the hell? Does a promise mean nothing
some
to you, mom?
Yep. She gets into a fight at school because some kid's like, your mom had cancer.
Which is like so rude. I like have to stop that kid conversation and be like, I'm sorry. I know we're kids, but you took that a little too far. Yeah.
That's
you know,
no your mama joke.
Call like, me four eyes. I'm, do a your mama's.
Yeah. Do,
whatever.
Do that kind of stuff. Making fun of me for my mom having cancer. This is, I'm going to tell you right now.
Too far.
Little kid. I know we're both kids, but I'm going to get suspended. Because I'm gonna fight you now.
Right.
That's how this works.
Oh, little Drew.
That's how I explained to my bullies. I was like, I'm gonna fight you now. I'm gonna get suspended for a week.
But
it'll
be
awesome.
We do get a nice moment of the daughter like talking to Olivia Newton-John. She's like, well, why wouldn't you tell me? Because I could have taken care of you. You know?
It was so sweet.
It was really sweet. It's like, yeah, okay, great.
Even though, I mean, we're not delving into the dysfunction and you know, therapy that that child had. But that probably came from the writer's imagination anyway.
It was it was good. It was a good little scene. So Matt, the dad, the actual real dad this time of the daughter, he's an actor as well, and he's very jealous of Olivia Newton-John's success. And he and her
they all get this way.
Yeah, he has a conversation. He's like, "You're too perfect. Everything you do is just successful. You even do cancer great because she like beat cancer."
Yeah.
So he's like, "You even did that perfect."
Right, and he got offered a TV role, like a role on a TV show, which sent them back to Australia. Actually, like oddly, he was like, it was like, "Hey, American guy, be on this Aussie TV show that's going to flop and go nowhere." So he's like totally down, like his career is stalled.
Yeah, and she's like, "Oh, you're jealous that I had cancer? Then bye bye, we're done." Okay, that's a terrible thing to say.
Out,
get out, leave. And they get a divorce, and Olivia Newton-John becomes a breast cancer advocate. Okay, which I remember that actually.
I do too. And she like has foundations and money, which probably contributed to like better screening, better care.
Right. So you know, she is actually a saint, Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah,
she's done a lot for people, and she's a friend of the gays for sure. So. Olivia Newton-John meets a man named Patrick. I'm going to talk about this, and then I'm going to talk about it more in my recap at the end. Patrick woos her over with flowers and pizza, which is a way to my heart. Stalker, if you're listening, buy me pizza and flowers. And they have a date, and they actually end up dating for like 4 years. Patrick
and
is
this
Asian.
Goes, this is like Patrick's 3 minutes.
New dad.
Three minutes.
Three minutes.
We're almost done. And they're like leaving an event, and he's like, "I can't handle this. Your paparazzi lifestyle, it's too much." He's like, "Yeah, you think 4 years has been a lot? How about doing this your whole life? Okay? All I wanted was a horse, a dog, and a house. That's all I wanted."
I feel like she should have just gone for that then.
Right? She could have had it. But they break up.
You could do that without being famous.
And we flash to 2015, Drew, and Patrick goes missing on a fishing boat and is presumed dead. And Olivia Newton-John feels responsible because she like broke up with him and didn't like take care of him. And the media is like all over her about it because they're like, "Your ex-boyfriend's dead."
How long in between her breaking up?
Yeah, I wasn't clear on
probably
that.
Probably like a like, few. They're like, on again, off again, I think.
Like how, when did he disappear?
Life. In the movie, it seemed like maybe they were dating in 2000s.
I thought it was in like the mid-2000s that he disappeared.
Yeah, he did.
I totally watched this movie while I was visiting my family again. And my mom's like, "You've got to tell me what happened with that guy who fell off the boat."
Yes.
Did they cover that in the movie?
Because, Drew, this is a huge story. It's still going on now. And I guess we'll just talk about it now a little bit. The man, I thought he was found in Mexico and had jumped off the boat, swam to Mexico.
And to avoid debts.
To avoid, like, yeah, all these debts and his family. And he, like, owed alimony. Is that what it's called when the man has to pay?
And child support.
Yeah, yeah. So he, like, was skirting all those responsibilities and was in Mexico. Turns out, as of, like, January of this year, the man who they thought was him is not him. So he's still missing and not found. No one knows what happened to him.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Wow, I didn't see that.
No, because I was doing research.
I did
a little
reading and I didn't.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, he must have. I mean, that's a story I heard.
Yeah, it's been generally understood for the last several years, like some private investigators dug into it and they're like, "We totally saw this guy in Mexico. We had like forensic scientists look at his bone structure from this photograph."
But the guy, so the development was the guy who's in the photo finally got wind of the story and was like, "Hi, that's me, and I'm not Patrick whoever. Yeah. I own a coffee shop in Mexico, and I am not him."
Snap.
Yeah.
Where is Patrick?
Where is Patrick? I'm right here.
It's actually him.
It's actually him. And surprise,
and
stalker.
And actually, we've been doing this whole thing to build up to this announcement.
To this big reveal.
So Olivia Newton-John sings "I Honestly Love You Again" as we get a montage of clips of the movie we just watched, my least favorite trope of a Lifetime movie.
Mm-hmm. Terrible.
You know, like, I don't need to see the clips of the movie I just saw with a song.
It's
like,
the fucking worst.
We've got 20 more minutes we got to fill with ads, so we better put this in.
You know what is weird about that?
What?
Is that, like, they put that in there. They probably, so, like, that was probably they had, it would have been okay for it to be in there if it was like a two-parter,
right?
Just like spread over time.
Mm-hmm. If you're watching it two nights.
Maybe. Yeah. I still hate that shit, but if you're like, it's a real shitty way to do filmmaking. But mm-hmm. that is like, it's more like to be acceptable, I guess, if it was a two-parter. So you didn't need to put that in there, and you cut out some shit that doesn't sound like
who's Nancy? Right.
Yeah,
like, who is Nancy?
Who the fuck is Nancy?
Okay, on the podcast, we either pour it up or put a cork in it. We'll start with Megan. What are you going to do to this movie?
I love ONJ.
Yeah.
I'm going to pour it up. She's she's a favorite since I was a very little girl. I love her.
ONJ?
Olivia Newton-John. Oh. That's why I referred to her.
I thought you were talking about an act like ONJ.
ONJ. God damn it,
Joe. My name is ONJ.
Okay. What are you going to do?
I'm gonna pour it up. Just because kind of impressive to put a two-parter into an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, you're gonna have some. There's gonna be some poo-poo mm-hmm. in there, mm-hmm. and it's gonna be hard to clean the poo-poo. But
right.
I don't know. I think it's Olivia Newton-John.
Wonderful. I am also going to pour it up because biopics are hard for a Lifetime to do,
mm-hmm.
and Bohemian Rhapsody recently was just for all the Oscars and whatever. They got nominated for all the things.
Mm-hmm.
Was this any different than that?
I didn't see it.
It's not.
No.
So, if Bohemian Rhapsody can be nominated for an Oscar, I think this deserves to pour it up.
At least to pour it up.
You know?
Yeah. Like, and Lifetime didn't even make it. Does Lifetime usually make the biopics?
The ones I'm talking about, they made. So this was an acquisition. So yeah, I think this one,
it puts it a different cut standard. Above. Yeah.
Different standard. I mean, I'm sure in Australia they gave this an Aussie.
Did they give it two steaks on the Barbie?
Right.
Shrimps?
Yes, they
on
did.
On the Barbie?
I mean, I don't know what the Australian Oscars are, but I think they're like
the Bobbies.
The Bobbies? Oh, I was like, the No Cocaine Mans. The Heath Ledger Award.
We're so sorry.
I know.
Aussies.
The Heathies. The Heathies. I love that. R.I.P. Heath.
The Kidmans.
Yes. So that you wraps up.
Kidman.
Yes. That wraps up our conversation on Olivia Newton-John, hopelessly devoted to you. But before we go, we have a favorite segment of this week and every week. Okay, yeah. What You Say, Candace Cameron Bure, where we watch Candace's Instagram and we talk about it. Yes, so I have a clip today. Candace has been very active on social media, of course. She's very busy.
Good.
So I will play a clip, we'll talk about it, and that's it.
All right, doing a little Aurora. I'm like, finally got out in the sunshine today because we get trapped in these homes and stuff. And I don't see daylight for a whole day. But we did a cute little 1920s piece. It was adorable. And I didn't even get a picture, which stinks. And I just took my hair out. So, sorry.
Okay.
What the hell is she doing? All these houses she's stuck in? Is she a realtor?
She's filming a movie in Vancouver. Multiple movies, actually, in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Do they just, like, run them around to different sets for all the Christmas?
Yeah, and they're in the looks like she was in, like, a Yeah, well, like motorhome.
Kind of. Right. She has a trailer, of course. Yeah, yeah. But she's filming, she's doing 4 Aurora Tea Garden movies. That's her mystery series, not her Christmas series. And she films them all in like the span of like 3 weeks, but like 4 different movies.
How does she remember all those lines?
Right. She just gets her page and she's like, what? I don't care. Just, I'll read them.
I know who the killer is.
Right. And she's really good at memorizing.
I'm kind of impressed with how much memorizing that is.
I know.
I'm horrible at that.
She said that I've seen like an Instagram like of her talking about how she memorizes lines, and she's like, it's just a gift that I've had since I was a kid.
Good for her.
So filming 4 movies at once, she's like, what scene is this? I don't care. I'll just act it and it'll be fine. It'll all come together in post, right? Right? We did a 20s thing. I don't know what movie that's for. I wish I took a picture of my hair.
We did a 20s piece. Like what?
I don't know.
She took her hair off out.
Right. It seems like I don't watch any of the non-Christmas Lifetime or Hallmark movies, but this one I'm like, well, I just don't understand what it is.
Maybe you should watch one. I'm not going to.
I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can. They have marathons where they play, because she's done like 8 of these, 9 of these. And so she's going to have like 12 of them total. And we'll do a whole day marathon.
And it's like
all Candace Aurora Tea Garden.
Aurora Tea Garden?
Yeah.
Aurora Tea with a like initial, like, or is it Tea Garden?
T A E.
Oh, Tea Garden. Yeah,
like the last name.
Tea Garden.
Yeah.
Tea Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tea Garden would be like a.
Yeah, she's some crazy detective with red hair, and you know they've replaced her male co-star like 3 times. I know that.
I kind of want to watch one of them.
Yep, it has Niall Mader.
Maybe Drew should watch that and then tell us
maybe,
about it.
Maybe I should.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good.
I don't know.
I don't think you deserve that, Drew.
Drew locks himself in his apartment for a night, for a whole day, and watches nothing but Aurora Tea Garden, and then does a podcast.
If you want to do that, donate to the podcast the website. Right, Drew?
Yeah, I will only do that if we're fucking donated to.
There's a donate button on the website.
I know you work hard in watching these movies, Patrick, just to tell me these things.
Right.
And I appreciate it.
What's your dollar amount?
All right. If we get like $100.
Okay. Okay.
I'll do it for $100.
I think all right. That's reasonable.
Because that's a lot. That's rough. But I'll do it.
I pimped you into that. I'm sorry.
I'll do it. Drew, you a hoe.
I'm a hoe, dude.
It's hard out there for a hoe.
It is. It's hard out there for a hoe.
Okay. I think that wraps up our conversation about Olivia Newton-John, hopelessly devoted to you. Megan, do you have anything you'd like to plug in the pluggy time of the podcast? This comes out this week, so this is hot off the presses.
On the first. I don't have anything right now.
Okay.
Nice. I'm going through my mental calendar and go to losimproviaches.com.
Yeah.
I'm in the improv group Los Improviaches.
Nice.
We'll have upcoming shows, something scheduled downstate, like wherever the Quad Cities are. So if you're in the Quad Cities, listeners, check us out the first weekend in May.
In Illinois?
The Illinois side. Rock Island, is that right?
Gotcha.
Shout out Rock Island.
Sure, okay, sure. Rock Island. Rock Island. Yeah. Rock Island.
That's all I got right now.
Okay, sounds good. Drew, how about you?
Yeah, you can find me at Drew Butt with Pants on Instagram. And I play and listen to my band, The Limbos. We're on Spotify and all those things. Also, new plug that just now came up. Donate $100.
Yep.
We have a little donate thing on our page. It's universehead.com. I think it's on YouTube, but
I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah. But you just click go to the Lifetime and $100 and I'll have to fucking watch all of them.
Wow.
As many as you can.
As many as I can. And
Aurora Tea Gardens.
Aurora Tea Gardens. There we go. Okay. Thank you. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners, for checking back in with Lifetime and Court. We watch these movies, so you don't have to, but if you do, we'd love to hear from you. You can follow me at Patrick Miguel or the podcast at Lifetime and Court. Don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Okay. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.